Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by our full complement of hosts, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's been a couple of episodes since we've had the whole group back together, and I gotta tell you, fellas, we have some breaking news. I may have to throw it over to the breaking news studio desk and shuffle some papers and cue us up to do this. Do you think we have time for that, boys?
I think it's necessary.
I think it is too. So let me throw it over to that desk, and here we are with some breaking news. Let's play the jingle. Dun 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 dun. Okay, wow, here it is, beautiful. Boys. Fresh off the wire, Barnabas Piper, our very own Barnabas Piper, is becoming a man of the cloth. So this is the lead. I've got to dig a little bit deeper into the news release here, but. Piper is leaving his post at Lifeway. So after working in Christian publishing for how many years, Pipe?
Basically since 2005. There was one 18-month stretch where I worked a different job for a little while, but so okay. What, 14 years? 14 and a half
Maybe
years?
That's a long run. That's a really, yeah. really long run in Christian publishing.
I think that constitutes a career, which sounds funny because yeah. I don't feel old enough to have had a career yet.
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. So after a career in Christian publishing, Barnabas Piper is leaving all of that glitz and glamour behind, which is big. It's hard to step away from all that, all the conferences, just all the excitement that is that industry, and you are moving into the church world, Pipe. So you've taken a position at the church that you attend, which is called, help me out.
It's called Emmanuel.
Okay, Emmanuel. And you're like the small groups guy, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it's director for community is the title. Okay. And so, yeah, basically overseeing small groups. And then probably over time that role will, once that's kind of solidified, moving into other areas of adult discipleship, community, et cetera. So it'll, these church world job descriptions are fluid.
Which to me, and I'm taking my news hat off on now and putting on my editorial hat, to me that's the best job in evangelicalism because, A, small groups never work, right? So, B, there's absolutely no pressure. Everyone, it's an understood fact they're
also,
not going to work.
Also, job security because it's not like you can build it and then be like, well, I finished.
Yeah, exactly. You're always building
it. There's no finish. It's a perpetual mess from morning till noon to night.
Absolutely, it's a perpetual mess. So,
it's a great ministry.
No, serious. All kidding aside, Piper. Congrats on that. And now, Ron, I have to ask you. We have to do the hard emotional work that comes on the back end of a news release like this because I know there's, people in the news business talk about shockwaves. There's several like ripple effect kind of shockwaves about this. One of which is, Ronald, you're no longer our resident man of the cloth on the show, and I want to know how that's sitting with you. How you're taking that, where your emotions are as an Enneagram 4, like wanting to have your own unique thing and now having it ripped away by Piper.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, baby. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm wondering to myself, is there room now? Is there room for two of us? I mean, Piper has been given the director title, so there's we'll make some distinctions there, right? Mm.
Parse that, baby. I'm not tracking. I need you to go deeper on that if you would.
There's my Enneagram 4 just like pinging wildly on the VU meter right there. Uh-huh.
Really, he's seeking to diminish me just a little bit by being like, oh, you're just a director. Yeah.
You're just directing.
Ted, to put it in parlance that you will understand, I'm like the special teams coordinator and he is the head coach.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I get it.
I mean, his word's not mine.
Yeah.
His word's not mine.
I get it. So are you telling me, Piper, you're not going to be conferencing like 3 to 4 months out of the year? Like that's head coach stuff. That's senior pastor stuff.
With the way position changes happen these days in the NFL and in churches, I could be like 18 months in this position and then just skip three positions and jump straight to that. But yeah, no, I don't think there will be nearly the level of conferencing either that has been in my professional past or in Ron's professional present.
So there's not a chance of that awkward moment where you guys run into each other at the same conference.
No, there's a chance. There's a great chance of that.
In the same role. Yeah.
There's a possibility. I think the question is who gets the plenary first?
That was my next question.
Race for the plenary at this point.
Are you boys going to be competing for the same, like, speaking gigs at this point?
I think Pipe has always had the knee up on me with that anyway. Mm. So I'm not he's still gonna dominate the plenary landscape, so to speak. Mm. Yes. So I'm not really worried about, like, oh no, I would have gotten that. Pipe's not worried, oh no, I would have gotten that, but now, you know, we're competing.
You don't sound bullish on your plenary prospects anymore. Are you down about that?
What do you mean?
Like, you don't sound I don't hear a lot of enthusiasm for you out of the plenary topic anymore. Like,
oh, baby, I'm just a normal pastor. I don't really get a lot of plenaries, you know. So I don't, exactly. I'm the ordinary guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a small town boy pastoring in a lonely world. You know, so
I know it took the midnight train to Naples, Florida, which actually runs daily.
Took the midnight train literally everywhere else but my small town.
Right? Absolutely, exactly. Well, baby, this has got to be a lot for you emotionally. So I want you to keep us apprised of just where you're at on all of it. But Pipe, when does the new gig start? I feel like you're between jobs right now.
Well, I'm still employed by Lifeway through the end of July. So
okay,
it's that awkward transition where I've told them that I'm leaving, but I haven't left yet. So some people are still acting as if I'm 100% doing my job, and some people are acting 100% as if I'm not doing my job. They're my favorite people, by the way.
Dude, isn't that?
They stopped emailing me.
It's fascinating when you leave a job because you can almost judge people's attitude toward you by how they handle that thing, right? You get the guy who, like, at 4 o'clock on your very last day, he's coming in like shuffling papers, asking you about like, you know, this or that, and then you get the lady that's like, you know, 2.5 weeks before you leave, she's bringing you cake and like helping you pack up.
She's
your
like,
office.
I thought she already left a month ago, Pipe.
Exactly.
There's sort of three categories of people that I've discovered. There's the, as soon as they find out, they just stop inviting me to meetings. Like, I just no longer exist. And they don't seek a replacement. They're not like, oh, who's going to be doing your job? They're just like, nope, you're whatever, you're gone.
That sounds heavenly.
It is from a work perspective. It is. It's a little spiteful because there is work that needs to get done.
That's true.
Then there's the nothing has changed at all, and so we're going to send you micromanaging minutia daily.
Yep.
Even though I have a foot out the door. My favorite category are the people who are like really excited for you. Let's grab lunch before you go, and that's the entirety of the interaction because there's lots of food involved and there's no work involved.
Piper, you doing a lot of the, and I'm sorry to go so deep dive on this, but I'm kind of just fascinated by transitions like these in adult life. Are you doing a lot of the whole, like, man, we got to keep in touch and we totally will, and, you know, but you know, like, deep down,
even though you know
keep,
that's no, impossible, yeah, that's it's called never going to happen, you're never going to see any of these people again.
I will do the half-baked version where I'm like, well, I'm just down the road.
There
Which
you go.
Means
I'm
nothing.
Just down the road. That leaves it open ended.
That's a benefit, Pipe.
It's actually true. Like, I'm 2 miles down, basically the same road, just west of where my current office is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. There's no commitment there. When you're like, well, I'm still nearby. I'm just down the road. It's comforting to people and means exactly zero.
Yeah, you're
it's really fascinating
making
though. Like, because when you don't, it's almost like when you stop working with somebody, they're just dead to you. It's weird how, like, work is the only thing that has, like, like, any sense of, like, permanence in terms of, like, oh, we're actually friends. We'll actually continue to,
well, dude,
to,
not to
talk
make it,
with one another.
Not to make it, like, too serious, but isn't that kind of a referendum on, like, adult relationships in our culture?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I mean, you essentially have to be working with someone on some project in order to, like, be able to continue calling them a friend, or else you're just going to drop it. You know.
Yeah, it's fascinating in that. In fact, I'll say this, and I'll keep the names off the docket. But I recently had a conversation with somebody that was transitioning somewhere, and we literally had the conversation like to the opposite effect. We basically were like on the phone. And I said, you know, this means we're literally never talking again to one another. And he goes, like, he paused and he went, no, that's true, isn't it? And so we kind of just got it out there that, like, no, this thing is over. We're
and then
done.
You followed up by telling him, like, we're literally never talking because I'm literally never going to be in the town that you're picking up your whole life to move to.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we're just not going to keep in touch. And he said, you know what, we're not. So let's just deal with it. And everything's great. Right. Good. Done.
So
there you go.
Why do we feel this strange compulsion? You know, like you see people, either work departure or whatever. We like, oh, we should keep in touch or we will keep in touch, which is a lie. Or like, you know, those people you get lunch with like once a year and you're always like, man, we shouldn't wait nearly this long to do it again. And then you see them again in a year. And it's always like, oh, there's so much time that's passed. Well, why don't we just acknowledge that, like, okay, this is an annual friendship. This is like a family reunion. You do this once a year. Why is there the compulsion to be like, oh, we should, whatever.
Piper, are you describing all of our relationship on the ramp right now?
Well, we talk weekly. So this is clearly a thriving friendship built around genuine human relationships, not the recording of an entertainment piece.
I feel like if the show ended tomorrow, we would still call each other on Skype once a week. And
yeah, once every couple of years
texts,
for sure.
I get texts from both of you about things unrelated to the show. So that I think that constitutes some kind of friendship that is not podcast related. I just don't understand.
That's just because we know we're still recording someday. If we said, hey, let's take a 3-month break and maybe we should try this as an experiment. I would love to see how much contact we still have with each other.
Wow.
I'm not saying that negatively. I'm saying I would love to see it.
Maybe that's
curious.
Dark. I mean, it's just, you know,
it's just honest.
Well, yeah. I feel like you're saying you would drop us like a bad habit.
See,
no, I'm saying I would love to see if you guys still contacted me.
See, here's the thing.
I'm being more selfish.
Ronnie's doing exactly what I just said we should do, and I'm now on the receiving end of that, trying to figure out if I should have hurt feelings.
And, yeah, I know.
And
right?
I can't
That's what
quite
I'm saying,
puzzle Pipe, it out. I don't have hurt feelings, but I'm like,
Pipe,
huh,
I'm just addressing what you said to us, right? I'm just saying, let's keep it real. Would that happen with us? Would it happen? Wow, everything just got quiet.
Boys, you know what I think I need to do in order to like really deep dive into this topic? I need to listen to some more Enneagram podcasts so that I can really understand the two of you. Except that I have a problem.
That would be wise.
I have a problem and I'm gonna run it by you guys. I tried to listen to one Enneagram podcast, the first in my life, and I hated every second of it.
Baby, who was it by, can I ask? Was it one of the guys that wrote the book or
It's by this lady, Suzanne. I think
Suzanne Stabile.
Suzanne Stabile.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
she's like the founder. She's one of the founders, right? So
yeah, you guys, it was brutal. And
why did you hate it? Why did you hate it so much?
Suzanne, apologies to you if you're listening and your family. I know you're probably all listeners, you know, around the hearth there at the Stabile household listening to the Happy Rant. But baby, I hated it because it was very like tonally, just very whispery. You know, it was as though they were talking about like a plane crash or something, but they were just talking about like, you know, I'm a 4, I'm a 7, blah, 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 blah.
So did she basically sound like the way a female worship leader sounds at like
a
church?
But a female worship leader, but in like a attractional, like Willow Creek in like 1989, you know, like,
right, like everything's like deep and everything's like, we just gotta be quiet.
Yeah,
here.
We just gotta. Let's just be quiet. Let's just be in this moment.
And
guys.
Also the kind of worship leader who would call God like Abba Daddy.
That
type of worship leader.
Guys, just let's just lean on our Abba Daddies right now. Okay?
You know, like, Abba Daddies. I feel like we're all in trouble now. We all just got in major trouble.
Abba Daddy. Like that's a thing.
I don't feel like I'm in trouble because I feel like any worship leader who uses terms like that probably deserves to be poked at. Also, they don't listen to this podcast.
Let's talk about Beth Moore then.
Oh.
Hey, yo. Still employed by Lifeway.
Let's give it a week and a half.
Still employed by Lifeway. Give me a couple.
Are you though, Pipe? Are you still employed by Lifeway?
I have at least one, if not two more paychecks coming my way from Lifeway. So until I have those in the bank, please do not lay landmines for me.
I mean, dude, to withhold those because I said the word Beth Moore could make it even more advantageous for you. You never know.
Fair.
Has Beth dropped by her office yet to like drop off a cake and invite you?
The office that Beth built.
Exactly. Boys, my other issue with this podcast was each and every second of each and every caller who called into it. So they do a thing where they take calls via voicemail, and it's always some like super whiny like guy or girl who's like, Suzanne, I love your program. I've been on a really intense Enneagram journey for 7 years now, and I'm really struggling with whether I'm a 4 or a 7. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude! Like, if I had to run into one of these people in real life, it would be the worst thing. You know, it would be terrible. And then I'm like, and then so the thing starts where I'm like, oh no, but I'm listening to this. Like, am I one of these people?
And the answer is correct.
And that's when I texted you guys, and that's when I stopped listening. So that's my journey out of the Enneagram. And there it is. Maybe I think I'm retired from the Enny game. Starting now.
I listened to about 2.5 episodes of a podcast that she did with Ian Morgan Crone or Cron. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Author of The Road Back to You.
And I listened to that one too, Pipe.
Interesting.
All of the same things you're describing. Like, it was such a navel-gazy experience. And the way that she talked, I mean, it felt like a therapist talking to like a wildly misbehaving preschooler.
Exactly,
That's sort of the tone of her voice.
Yeah, it had that kindergarten tone to it. And also it just sounded like she was making like making stuff up, in that, you know, the caller calls in, they're like, I'm really struggling with my, you know, like I want to have permanence in my career, but like I really want to be a rock star. And, you know, like that was literally one of the callers. Like, I just really feel drawn to a career in music. But it's like, well, you're an architect, you know, like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, baby, it's the Enneagram. So
I'm
like
not,
everything,
I'm not a betting man,
made up.
But I don't think that's going to happen, you know, and she's like, you know, trying to talk him down off this ledge. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is the worst.
You know, Ted, I think you and I still feel called to careers in professional sports too. At what point do we need somebody to talk us off the ledge?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm 43, but Suzanne, here's the thing. I still want to be the next Walter Payton. You know, what do you think my odds are?
I'm four. I'm not in shape. I'm 40 plus. I was never fast, and I would like to be the next Walter Payton. What do you have to say about it? What does the Enneagram have to say to me?
Suzanne, who's never watched a football game in your life, you tell me, like, what does the Enneagram have to say to me about
that? Well,
to
be fair, I think she's from Texas, which means she probably has watched football games by proximity, if nothing else. But
that's true. That's true. Anyway, I feel bad now. I feel like Suze is probably a listener, and she probably hates us now. But anyway, boys, that wasn't even on our show prep. That wasn't even in the production notes for this program.
Well, hold on. Before we move on, you and I have had some thoughts about this. Ronnie has merely mentioned that he knows these podcasts exist. I feel like he is being strategically silent so as not to out himself. Ronnie,
I tried to break in a couple times. You guys just kept talking.
Yeah, we had things to say. What are your feelings about these podcasts?
It's kind of my feeling about this podcast. You just don't have to listen to it if you don't want to. It just doesn't matter.
That's true.
Yeah. It means nothing. It's completely irrelevant.
Isn't that the beauty of podcasts, though? It's why, and maybe this is like a transition into a thing we don't want to get into, but like every month or so we get basically the 1,200 word resignation letter from somebody who's like, guys, I've been listening now for 3.5 years. And I just want to let you know I'm leaving the show. And I'm like, oh, were you on the show? And they tell us why they're like no longer going to be consuming the free thing. And I don't know. It's just kind of funny. Maybe I'm doing the same thing to Suzanne. So this makes me a hypocrite. I should have just written her a letter.
my resignation letter to Lifeway was like 2 sentences.
Oh, yeah.
I resign, love Barnabas.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't count the greeting. It was like, as of this date, I will be taking a position with Emmanuel Church. So this date will be my last day.
So, Pipe, now that you're a pastor, and this is going to be
director,
a segue into it.
Let's not step on Ronnie's toes.
Thank you.
Man of the
Thank
cloth,
you.
Though. Man of the cloth. Let's make that distinction. Now that you're a man of the cloth, are you going to start, like, hyper over communicating like most of those guys, like 12,000 words when 12 would suffice? Do you think that's gonna happen?
Boy, there's so many things to look forward to. I hadn't had that one wasn't on my list of things to get better at or worse at, as the case may be. Exactly. Why don't I ask you guys this in true ministerial fashion? Will you be my accountability partners if you notice me using 12,000 words where 12 would do? Would you please just gently reprove me in the spirit of humble correction?
I mean, I will not.
I will not. I'm going to covenant to not walk through that.
How about we publicly make fun of me on a podcast like we do other 12,000 word articles that would be good in 12 words?
See, I feel like the other pastoral thing, though, is to, like, turn everything into an argument. So if we were to rebuke you on that, you would hit us back with, like, 15,000 more words on why, like, defending your use of the original 12,000 words.
Nine reasons why your rebuttal is wrong. Exactly.
Exactly. I feel like all these guys should have just been...
Barnabas is not Joe Carter.
They should have been in college, like, on debate teams. You know what I mean? They, if there were, like, adult debate tournaments, they would win.
Well, baby, that's a weird thing, because I was just having a convo with somebody about the whole idea of especially younger pastors. And by younger, I mean, like, you know, way younger than you, Pipe. But, like, just, like, this idea of, like, you can't say a word without them saying, you know, I'm going to push back against that. Literally my least favorite phrase, I think, in the human language, which is, I'm going to push back against that.
It's dude, like, that's
I
feel literally like the verbiage just, they use.
You literally took out a machine gun and just tried to, like, just gun me down. Like, that's the equivalent of what I feel like you're trying to do to me right now. But, like, it's so weird that, like, younger guys, like, kind of use that. They kind of weaponized that term. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's so weird. It's so weird that that's a thing. Like, you could literally say, like, hey, guys, what's going on? Like, for God so loved the world. I'm gonna push back on that really quick. And it's like, what are you pushing back on? What do you mean? I didn't say anything that was, like, arguable. Like, what is that all about? Right?
Yeah, exactly, baby. And so that's a phrase that Pipe is going to have to get familiar with real quick in order to excel at his next job. But speaking of pastoral ministry,
well, let me push back on that real quick.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to fit it into this conversation. The problem is I just really agree with you guys.
Let me just very gently push back, even though I totally agree. Boys, there might be some pushback on this next topic. And I want to bring in a friend of the program, longtime friend of the program, not yet Twitter verified, as far as I know. Has @JaredC gotten the elusive blue check yet?
No, in fact, I think a week or two ago he made another comment about how he's done everything in his power to get it and still doesn't have it. So our
everything in his power.
Our condolences, that's right. Jared C.
That's tough, man. That's a lot.
Think about
to...
the things we do everything in our power to accomplish.
Exactly.
Everything in my power.
Yeah, to, like, cure your kid of a disease or, you know, I don't know what the big ones are, but getting that blue check, too, is definitely up there. And our hearts and minds are with Jared C. Wilson on that, because we can only imagine how tough that would be to walk through life without that blue check. But @JaredC recently wrote something very controversial that I think, Ronald, you were going to text to us. Has that happened? Show prep
I'm sorry,
was?
I emailed it over, boys.
Oh, you emailed it.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now in Ronnie's email. I saw it pop up.
I actually don't see it. I think, Ronald, I think you sent it to the email address that I closed like a year and a half ago. Which is
is that a... Okay, all right.
Let me work it out, baby. I don't want you guys sensitive right, over it.
Not to push back as you're pushing back. The one I love is this, you guys. I agree with you, but to push back a little bit.
I agree with you, but to find fault with what you said.
Okay, sent over, baby. You should be getting it right now.
Great, baby. I'm sorry for the pushback on the email issue, but...
Well, I'd like to push back on your pushback about not pushing back.
I feel like we got it resolved. So, @JaredC has pushed back a little bit on how pastors greet their congregations. And this is fascinating. Ron, you put this in front of us, so I want you to talk about what you found in the article and what kind of tweaked you about it. Now, well, you and Jared C are colleagues now. You're main stagers at Normal Pastors. So is this going to get a little awkward for you? Like,
no,
pushing back?
No, not at all. Because I dig the article. So I think it's a good article. Because here's what it is, man. If you ever have to stand in front of a congregation and begin the service, there is this thing about, like, what do you say? How do you say it? It's not like you're beginning a concert. It's not like you're opening up some big event. So there is this kind of weird thing about, like, what do I say? You know, and, like, I've been doing this for a while, and I kind of have, you know, what I say down pat, you know, in some ways, right, depending on what we're doing. But it's like there's always this thing where you feel like, is that the right way to open a service? And so Jared C. is just saying, hey, look, man, here are some things to be careful about saying when you open up your service. And his first one, of course, is how's everybody doing this morning?
Which is hilarious because that is a straight up subtweet or subpost of Matty Chan.
Is it?
Oh. Is Matty Chan a how's everybody doing guy?
For years. I don't know if he still does it, but for years he would stand up and in his very, you know, warm Texas way, how's everybody doing this morning? I mean, it was constant. And then he moved into the grab your Bibles, open up to whatever, whatever. And it was every Sunday.
Mm. Oh wow! So in that Texas steak owning Southern drawl, he would say, "How's everybody doing this morning?"
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, less like used car salesman Texas. You know, not so much Buddy Garrity if you've watched Friday Night Lights, but just in his. Yeah, his very just sort of preacher patter. It was his standard greeting, and so my guess is that this got under Jared's skin when he was working on turning Matt's sermons into books, and he had to listen to them over.
He had to fast forward
over and over again.
But what's crazy about that is number one, I just don't really care that much how anybody greets me in a church service. But number two. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird. Like, you guys have all been in front of people when you, like, you use transitional phrases to get to, you know, the next part in what you're going to say and probably more the meat of the content of what you should be saying. And so little things like, how's everybody doing this morning or good morning or however you want to get there. Like, they're things that just kind of pop out of you based on your personality rather than something that's super pre-planned, I would say, most of the time. And knowing Matty Chan, not a super pre-planned kind of a speaker, you know?
Yeah.
So stuff just kind of rolls out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, baby, would you be offended if your guy says, "Hey, how's everybody doing this morning?" Would that offend
you? Dude, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be offended at all. But it's also, as I say that, it's like the last thing he would say. You know, I feel like our guy, like our liturgy is pretty set in stone in terms of like when he comes up.
Yeah, how does he greet? How does he begin the service?
Well, he always invites us to stand and read aloud, he reads aloud the scripture that's going to be.
But I mean, does he say hello? Does he just like walk up to the podium and say, "I invite you to stand"?
Pretty much.
Does he
that.
Say good morning?
Does he? No, he does the good mornings and all that stuff like at the very beginning of the service when he does some announcements, and then being that we're a Reformed church, we sing like all 86 verses of like 16 songs. And then by the time I'm ready to go to the cold tub and ice my knees, then it's time to stand for the scripture.
So he does have sort of a transitional, like, hello, good morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo,
but that's at the very
up?
Beginning. But then when it's time to like sermon up, he just kind of gets right into it with the scripture, which is nice. Like that feels good to me, I guess, you know.
So Jared C. says, "How's everybody doing this morning?" Which, again, I don't think is a big deal. Now, the follow-up is I think is criminal, which is he says, "I can't hear you. I said, how's everybody doing?" Now I think you're diving into that, like, weirdo territory where it's like, dude, you got to just slow your roll and just carry on. It doesn't matter what kind of response you got. Just kind of move on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That seems cloying to me and sad.
And this is distinctly cultural because obviously we all go to white Reformed churches. But anytime a pastor in a church says, either "Can I hear you say," or "Turn to your neighbor and say," I just have like this knot in my stomach, and it's just a hard no. I will not turn to my neighbor and say anything.
No. You've just realized you're at the wrong church, Pipe, is what you're trying to say.
And again, to our listeners who come from a different church background, I recognize that like a call and response type of thing is very normal in a lot of churches, but not in the white Reformed church. And so it's very uncomfortable for me when I'm in that context. And this is the worst version. Turn to your neighbor and say is bad. But the "I can't hear you, say it louder" kind of thing just makes me want to throw a hymnal at him.
You mean Johnny P never did that at Bethlehem?
You know how my dad opened every sermon?
How?
Let's pray.
He never even said hello, did
he,
Pipe?
No, he knew greetings.
Yeah.
We're not here to chit-chat.
Exactly.
He gets up there and he just lays out his manuscript and he just says, "Let's pray." And then he prays. And then he just starts.
There's something really refreshing about that, to be honest, man. There's no messing around.
I agree. There's no messing around. You just get right into it.
You're just flipping the coin, and you are, man, the game begins, right? It's
just
that
simple,
right?
Yeah, you're in it, man.
Hey, baby, so go ahead.
Baby, you're a man of the cloth. How do you start yours? Like, it's good to be back from Naples. I mean, like,
long time no see.
Long time no see. I'll have to spend some time getting to know some new faces.
I missed you guys.
Yeah.
I do.
A lot of new faces.
I either do a good morning or I do a morning. MORNIN.
Morning.
You know? Oh, that's morning. So yeah, that's so strongly like small town Midwestern of you.
Dude, it's folksy.
Morning.
It's,
yeah, that's all I do.
It's
morning.
Folksy.
And then I just carry on. No big deal.
Yeah.
I always say, "Hey, if you're new here, we're glad you're here." You know, I do a little bit of that as we're kind of like getting into it. And but nothing that causes anybody to have to react to anything.
That's good, man.
You know, which
that's
is crazy.
Good.
But then, so Jared sees, okay, the third one is one I've literally personally never heard anybody do. And I was kind of shocked to read it. And maybe you guys have had experience with this, but the third one that he mentions is, where is everybody? Like, I've literally never even heard that. That sounds so atrocious to me. I can't imagine somebody saying that, much less myself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't either.
Has that ever happened to you? Either of you guys been in a service where the guy said, where is everybody?
Well, like at the service opens, and so there's sort of the initial greetings, announcements, whatever. I've heard it.
Yeah. And there's like four people sitting in the pews,
right?
Because
everybody's getting coffee, showing up. Well, you know, nobody rolls in until like the first song starts. So, you know, it's usually that time of the service, not at the beginning of the sermon.
Right. But still, to acknowledge that, like, you're up there and nobody's out there, just like, how are the people supposed to respond to that is what I'm asking.
Usually it's a more passive aggressive, you know, we're going to go ahead and get started while people trickle in kind of thing. And I don't know why the people trickle in as opposed to like stroll in, walk in, whatever.
Always a trickle.
It's always a trickle.
Wobble in.
Flood in.
Flood in.
Make their way in. You know, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of ins. There's a lot of ways to come in.
But it's always trickling. So that I've heard more. But yeah, it's usually the less aggressive version of where is everybody.
I want to talk to Jared C. about the where is everybody, because I dig that. I mean, that is so outrageous to me that I'm taken back by that one for sure.
Yeah. Maybe you should introduce that at your church.
I might do that this week. I seriously might do it.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a full service, I might just go, you know what? I'd love to know where everybody is.
There you go.
Where's everybody who's not here?
Right. Where's everybody that's not here? There's not really any chairs left anyway, but I want to know where everybody is. Can you guys tell me? Can I get somebody to stand? Hey, if you're new, stand up. Tell me where everybody is.
That's aside from being asked to repeat something louder, having new people stand up is my other least favorite thing.
I don't know, but who has done that past like 1948? You know what I mean? Like
churches that are still doing things like it's 1948, of which
well,
there
I know,
are
but it's
many.
Insane. Who would do that?
Mean people. So when I was growing up, we'd go visit my grandmother's church, and by growing up, I mean like two summers ago.
Pipe, hold on. Did you just say who would do that? And you said mean people.
I did say mean people. Yes. So we, you know, go visit First Baptist Barnesville, Georgia, or whatever church she went to when I was growing up, some other Southern Baptist church, and it was constant, and because. You know, Pam Henry's, that's my grandmother, was like the organist and the accompanist forever. And so her family coming into town was a big deal. And they'd always have a stand up. And sometimes they'd call out my dad and be like, and we've got the Dr. Reverend John Piper here with us. And it's just like, oh, dear Lord, it was the worst. So, yeah, that stuff still goes on today. It's just churches that have not made many changes since, you know, the baby boom began.
It's just weird thinking like a great way to make sure like new people never come back is to have them stand up and like, you know,
dude,
say hi, give
yes.
their testimony, tell everybody their favorite color, tell everybody like what they're going to do after the service. I mean, that feels so insane to me.
Do you think that's on purpose? They're like, oh, we liked what we had going. Let's scare away these new people.
Well, I mean, you would think it was on purpose, but in actuality, I think the mindset behind it, weirdly enough, is that, hey, this is a way to make new people feel welcome, which is to literally like cause them to confront their greatest fear.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're an introvert who hates public speaking. By all means, stand up and introduce yourself in front of several
hundred
people.
Yeah, like that thing you were having a nightmare over last night before you came to our new church, it's coming true right now.
Is the stand up thing is bad? Is that the do you take time during your service to like greet your neighbor? You know, so we're going to take 2 minutes and shake hands with the people around you or whatever, because that's pretty bad too. It's just like it's a little bit more low key bad.
That to me is brutal.
No, we don't do that because we don't do it awkwardly, but we do it. We break into about a 7 minute time where everybody just stands around and talks.
Okay, so you do it. You just do it for longer. Which
we
makes
do
it better.
Sometimes it lasts 10 minutes. It's like everybody just breaks.
This age priest.
Everybody Baby, just what? Breaks and they're hanging out and they're talking. So we don't do the whole quiet turn. Oh, hello. My name's Pam. You know, everybody literally just breaks. They get out of their seats. They walk up the aisles. They go get coffee. We're hanging out for like 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What if somebody in your church doesn't have a bunch of buds like in the room to hang out with? How does that work?
Well, then they're just, you know, they get approached.
Okay.
By strangers, which is always very comfortable.
Which is how people become friends, right?
Dude, people's, like, how they handle that moment, like, usually it's not 10 minutes long, but usually it's, like, just long enough to where the super extroverted, like, guy in your church is, like, charging down the row. Like, he's leaving his section to, like, sprint down and talk to somebody in front. It's a real interesting moment.
Yeah, but see, like, our thought behind it was I always hated those moments because they were so, like, token, and they lasted, like, 41 seconds, and everybody just sort of turned, and you were looking at everybody funny. So I just said, hey, this thing has to be lively. It has to be more physical. I mean, everybody needs to just get, like, we're taking a break, essentially, at that part of the service. So it's something that is, it's far more, like, relational than it is, like, I'm just sticking out my hand to you. You know what I mean? So nobody does that. We don't do that. And so, yeah, new people might struggle with it a little bit for sure. But it is an opportunity to actually have somebody meet you without it being so quiet and, oh, they're just putting out their hand and I don't really know what to do and I don't know which way to turn left or right. I mean, everybody's literally kind of up and out them, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
For some people, that's going to be awkward. I get it. I mean, there's no getting around that. For some people, church is awkward. So anything we do. Guys, you know what? I'm not going to preach this morning because I know for some of you guys that's going to be awkward. That's hard.
That's so awkward. So we're just going to actually – we've given everyone a flat screen. We're just going to sit and watch Netflix this morning.
Yeah, correct.
Because that's the most comfortable thing.
Which is what half the people do anyway because they have their devices.
Have you ever watched something on your device at church? Either of you?
Yes, 100%.
I have too. Not at church.
It's always live streaming a game. I haven't like pulled up Netflix. That's sinful. But if
for sure, but if it's a game,
if
streaming a game, Pipe, you're the worst.
hold on. I don't think it was a Sunday morning church service. It was something at church.
Dude, agreed. We gotta give some context. So for me, it was like it was a congregational meeting. Which,
okay, that's valid.
Those go down on like Sunday evenings, and the deal with this congregational meeting was somebody was supposed to, like, the way we do membership at our church, part of it is like the new member will get up and give their testimony, and it's supposed to go like literally 3 minutes. You know,
but it
it's
goes
supposed
30
to be just
minutes.
Just like a flyover of their testimony. These folks, man, this particular meeting, they got up, they had notes. They like unfolded the notes from their pocket, and it was literally like life story. You guys, it went 35.
No.
And I said to my lady, I'm like,
baby,
nudge me when this is over.
Is that a fact?
Is that what? Yeah. No, it's no exag.
He knows because he
was streaming a game and there was a clock on it. So.
Dude, I was watching a Milwaukee Bucks game and I forget who they were playing, but I wanted to see Giannis. And I'm like, oh, I can do this on my phone. So I just muted the sound and I'm like, babe, just give me a little nudge in the ribs when this is over and I'll dial back in here. So
unbelievable.
Yeah,
35 minutes.
Man.
They deserve not to be members.
That's
after
right.
One of those
games.
It was a lot.
Like, we'll pull your membership.
Church discipline right there. Yeah.
For a move like that.
Or
man.
Is that church discipline on the rest of you? That was the discipline.
Exactly.
You know what? That's
exactly.
A good point.
Yeah.
Man.
I've streamed games during weddings for sure. Because homilies should be like 5 minutes long. If they go like 12 or longer, we're in streaming territory. Also, if you have three friends play special music, I'm not interested. Yep. Neither is anyone else. Let's see. Definitely church business meetings. I think during like Christmas concert kinds of things too, or, you know, like some sort of a cantata thing that I've been dragged to in the past, but not a Sunday morning service. I'm usually engaged in those fully, which is good because I work at a church now, so I have to be engaged.
Yeah, you're
in
not
these
allowed
things.
To do that stuff anymore, Pipe. It's done for you. All those
indulgences
you used to have
of
streaming Netflix during services are over.
That's exactly. Right. Never happened. I have looked at Twitter during service, but not streamed any video.
Well, fellas, by accident. Like, I've been up there and I've because I used to like time myself, you know, with my iPhone, you know, when I was preaching, and like I would get a text every once in a while, right as everybody was turning in their Bibles to the passage. And I'd be like, well, shoot, I might as well. I have like 28 seconds. I might as well answer that text. So I've answered a text or two up there before.
During your sermon.
Yeah, literally while everybody's turning to the passage and I'm already at the passage. So I'm like, I'm going to give them a few seconds, you know.
There
so let me
go.
Just answer this. Guys, give me a minute here. I'm going to answer this text really quick. Oh, it's from one of you. What's up? Why don't we just chat? in real time right now about it.
It's Big T. You know? He wants to talk about Moneyball. Important business.
Baby, you know what? If you were ever at a sub, if you're ever at a Substance Sunday morning, man, I would love you to just start flying me in some like Moneyball quotes during the sermon.
Dude, there you go. What we're going to do if I'm ever at sub, I'm going to give you a Moneyball quote like during the opening part of the sermon.
And then the
game is you have to use it. You have to work it in seamlessly.
How epic would that be? I just get in these quotes because, you know, my sermon's a little lacking in some quotes and illustrations. And you're just like sending me this stuff.
And then in his commentaries, James Montgomery Boyce said, if he's a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good? Right?
Dude, it's like wearing an earpiece, you know, getting like, you know, play by play. Like you could just be giving whatever I'm lacking in the sermon during the sermon, right?
And then Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said, I don't care about righty lefty.
Welcome to Substance Church. We're not selling jeans here.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are talking like we're the same old good body nonsense, like we're trying to sell jeans. I love it. Oh, boys, this feels like a good time to end the program, doesn't it?
That's what all the listeners think, too.
Exactly. So we'll get that in the 12,000-word resignation letter this week. Should have ended the podcast sooner.
Yeah, my resignation letter.
Oh, he's threatening again.
He's always threatening. He wants us to... You know what, Piper? He wants us to woo him. Ron needs to be wooed.
Who uses that word besides the Bible?
Salespeople. There's actually something called the gift of woo.
Oh, I love
which
it.
Which is a business language for like the person who can make Ronnie want to stay on the show.
So funny because our other congregation is called Sub Woo because it's this town called Worcester. So that's Sub-Woo. Really funny to me, man.
The pastor of that one is John Woo, former film director.
Yeah, John Woo, right? Correct. Whoever that is.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't think Ted or I have the gift of Woo. I think we have the gift of like, well, don't let the screen door hit you.
Yeah, you have the gift of woe. There's a big difference.
We drive
the
people
two.
Away, Piper. We got to work on our wooing game for Ronald. He's delicate. Now that you're a man of the cloth, I think he feels threatened, and we got to keep him. We got to make it worth his while. Keep him on the program. You know what we really need to do? We need to make enough money so that we can send Ronald on a retreat from this program. He's got a lot of other sanctioning bodies sending him out on retreats.
I'm pretty sure he can do that without us paying a dime.
Oh, for sure. I mean, clearly. But, like, wouldn't it be better, though, if we could just be like, you know what, man? Pamper yourself. Take care of yourself. Just take a week.
Yes. You know, you need some self-care. That's true.
Wellness.
Enjoy some Enneagram.
Wellness. I don't think we can really afford the level of decadence that Ron's used
to.
Well,
that is absolutely true.
We may be able to get him like a couple nights in a hotel room.
That is 100. That is the truest thing you've said.
A couple nights at like a Red Roof Inn. Big T.
Baby, we can send you to the Red Roof Inn in Dayton for a happy rent retreat.
I don't need to even entertain the thoughts of Red Roofs.
The upside is it's a trip. You'll get to leave. You'll get to pack a bag and leave Ashland. But the downside is... It is a Red Roof Inn.
It's no Hyatt.
Probably bed bugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say yes or no right now. Just let it percolate. Just think about it. But boys, we have done a lot of thinking on this program. We have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take, but I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.